The Pat Kenny Show
with MasterCard. Share in extraordinary experiences all over the world with priceless cities at priceless.com.
This is News Talk.
We want to talk about the story that's on the newspapers this morning. Fia Kelly had it on the Irish Times. Increased drink driving checkpoints by an Garda Síochána, particularly in the mornings as a result of tighter drink driving laws, have been criticised by ministers, including the Minister for Justice. Heather Humphrey's also given out about them. Michael Creed, Michael Ring. One minister speaking privately to the Irish Times said increased checkpoints in the morning were over the top, adding that they were akin to a police state. Another minister said community policing was the backbone of an Garda Síochána and suggested that stopping people going to mass could undermine that. So when Michael Healy-Rae and Danny Healy-Rae said this, everybody was laughing at them. Now the ministers are saying this, nobody's laughing at them. So who's right and who's wrong here? One minister privately claimed to the Irish Times, drivers were told by individual Gardaí to blame increased checks on Minister Ross, who has seen a tightening in drink driving laws. So I was asking, has anyone actually been checked? Because as I pointed out before, I've been driving all of my life, adult life at least, and I have not ever been stopped for a drink drive checkpoint. I've never been breathalyzed. I've been stopped for tax and insurance or whatever you might be looking after, but nothing like that. And there are others out there who kind of have a similar experience to me, and others who are saying there is a lot more checkpoints than there were before. Stuart says, I was breathalyzed once in 25 years in the evening. Brian says, I've been driving 26 years and have never seen a drink driving checkpoint, tax and insurance only, similar to myself. It's not the checkpoints that bother me, says a listener. I'm not a drinker and I approve of more enforcement of drink driving. It's the speed vans. If I drive from Newbridge to Selbridge, I'm driving 50 to 60 kilometres most of the way. Ah, look, this is the M7, the dreaded M7. They have one speed ban at the end of the roadworks to catch people who speed up a few metres earlier. That, yeah, okay, that annoys me no end as well. A listener was breathalyzed three times during December in New Ross. So therefore you have a very active traffic corps in New Ross by all accounts. You don't see morning checkpoints, Jonathan, because you're obviously an urban dweller. I'm not actually living in the countryside. I live in rural Meath and believe that there are plenty of them. Fair enough if someone finishes drinking at 2 in the morning is getting behind the wheel at 7:30. It's totally wrong. But here's what drives everyone mad. You pay big money for taxis home. You have 7-8 hours sleep. Have your breakfast and still at lunchtime can be breathalyzed. Country pubs are basically finished except for Friday and Saturday nights. And one more, I live in rural Waterford and we've been absolutely haunted by random breath checkpoints. It's out of control and will ultimately have a detrimental effect on the relationship we have with Gardaí. Well, the Minister, Sean Canny, was on with the lads on News Talk Breakfast earlier and they put it to him that ministers are unhappy with this increased level of policing.
I do not condone drink driving. Absolutely not. I do not support anybody who takes a drink and goes behind the steering wheel and drives the car. There is, and let's be honest here, there has been a huge increase in the number of checkpoints that are happening for drink driving in the mornings, especially, a very noticeable increase in them. I have no problem with that.
Sean Kelly.
That we seem to be losing the balance.
Okay, we seem to be losing the balance. That was his point. Conor Faulkner of the AA is with us in studio. Conor, where's all this coming from?
Well, look, this should be a good news story. Last year, there were 149 people killed on Irish roads. And while that's a horrible number, it's the lowest number we've ever had. You literally have to go back to the Second World War before you arrive at a time when fewer people were killed on the roads. So something somewhere is going right. And this is in the context of an increased economic output, more activity, more cars on the road. So we are doing something right. Now, the thing about Garda checkpoints and a crackdown on drink driving is that if you ask motorists in the abstract, and we do this through AA opinion surveys and stuff, we talk to AA members, we ask them, and they will very, very frequently tell you, like 80% plus in terms of the split, will tell you that they favour tougher punishments for drink driving, more Garda enforcement. You'll get a lot of people who say, give us zero tolerance, we want zero alcohol, and you know, punish it right down to the bone. And then when that individual comes across a Garda checkpoint at 8:30 in the morning, or meets Garda en route to mass, their opinion switches and they think, ah, for goodness sake, why are you bothering me? I was behaving myself. Would you not go off and catch a drug dealer? So the poor old guards are in a bit of a bind. But generally speaking, morning alcohol is dangerous. It is illegal. People do know that. Generally speaking, I would like to see the Gardaí weight their activities towards the danger hours. And I would be concerned if there's a disproportionate amount of attention given to the morning after, if you like, or to the morning commute. Not that it's not valid to police at that time, but in terms of the use of the resource, those flashing blue lights that I'm always calling for, that we want to see more of, really where you want to see those is at 2 o'clock in the morning in the car park of the pub. And we don't see enough of that relative to the amount of stories people will tell you about meeting them on a Tuesday afternoon or meeting them on a Friday morning commute.
We have a goldfish tendency in this country to forget what went before. Mm. Is it the fact that the Gardaí are now actually conducting the checkpoints that they're supposed to be conducting? Because we remember all the breathalyzer tubes that we found that had been used that didn't correlate to actual checkpoints, and it turned out that the guards hadn't been doing what they were supposed to be doing. Are they just now doing the job?
Well, I would hope that's the case, but the Garda data proved, unfortunately, to be very, very unreliable. And we know we don't need to rehearse that scandal, but it was difficult to know what we were actually looking at. So we've tended to rely more on those surveys that we do of AA members. So we would typically ask about 5,000 AA members, when was the last time you met a guard? When was the last time you were breathalyzed? And from that, you get a reasonable indication of activity levels. I think activity levels are picking up, and I think that's a good thing. The Gardaí are also adding to the capacity in the traffic corps. The Gardaí traffic corps was allowed to reduce in size over the last number of years. Since the financial crash, it basically was allowed wither away. They're now back recruiting again, so you're getting a bit more numbers out and about, and we're starting to see more Gardaí. But one thing that we have to just accept, Jonathan, is that this goes absolutely hand in hand with the reduction in overall deaths and injuries. You don't get one without the other. And, you know, I've often given out to the likes of Shane Ross, and my basic point being that we don't need fresh legislation. Every time a minister wants to take road safety seriously, they seem to think that the way to do that is to dream up a fresh piece of legislation, do the media rounds on that, have a bit of controversy, have a few radio phone-ins, change the law, and away you go. Actually, that's not what we need. What we need is to implement and enforce the laws that we have, and that means more Gardaí out and about, and that means you're going to meet them. And you may not like that at the point where the community guard meets the community. There will be people who find that frustrating, but look to the victory. Mm. I mean, 149 people killed on the roads last year. 15 years ago, that figure was about 450. So we have made enormous progress, and we've done it by enforcement, even when enforcement is unpopular.
Leah Liegeau's on the line. Leo, good morning.
Hello, Jonathan. Good morning.
You're a member of the Irish Road Victims Association. Tell us what happened to your daughter.
My daughter was killed in a hit-and-run incident in Clondalkin in 2005.
Her name is Marcia?
Marcia, yeah, Marcia. She was just 16 years old. And she fought for her life for a full week in Tala and Bowman hospitals. But unfortunately, she couldn't survive any longer. She had to give up the fight. And she was killed by, well, as it was a hit and run. We don't know whether the girl was on drugs or, well, she was a non-drug addict, but it was drugs or drink, but speed was involved as well.
At what time of the day did it happen, Leo?
This was between 8 and 8, about 8:20.
In the evening. And up until that point, look, you probably would have respected the rules of the road yourself. You would have been aware of other things that were going on. But when you got that call that there'd been an accident, what was your first reaction?
It was disbelief, because like everyone else, if this thing happens to other people, it doesn't happen to you. And I was just in utter shock. And I was just sitting down in the chair watching television. Mark Treat and my wife had just returned with the other kids, and we got the call, and I just shouted at her, and we got into the car and drove down to the scene, and Marcia was lying on the stretcher, unconscious. And I don't remember very much about that, although I was numb with shock and didn't know what to do, what to say, just cried and followed the ambulance to the hospital.
Now, the driver left the scene, but obviously Gardaí conducted an investigation. She was ultimately jailed for 10 months, so she's actually since died. But you found out, when did you find out that she'd been convicted of drink driving?
No, she wasn't convicted of drink driving. She was only charged with motoring offences.
So she wasn't convicted of drink driving.
She couldn't have been charged.
No, but I'm saying she had previously been convicted of drink driving.
Oh, she previously did, and then and she had already been banned from driving as well. And we couldn't believe that. Like people she had something like 40 or 50 convictions together, and it's the first time I ever came really across something like that. How can someone be allowed on the street with that many convictions against them? Like, 5 or 6, you know she's going to do it again. So you're not protecting society by letting people like that there back out on the street. To protect society, you have to keep these people in prison until they're proven that they've reformed.
So in theory, more checkpoints would have possibly intervened and kept drivers like that off the road.
It absolutely could have, because a friend of mine said he'd seen the car driving erratically down the Mace Road, and he rang the Gardaí, but they didn't come on the scene. Look, to be honest about this, Doc, I'm very surprised if any member or any minister would come out and criticise the Gardaí for doing their jobs and enforcing the law. Like, this is what we in IRVA and victims and other associations are calling out for more enforcement. And when Shane Ross had the new bill up in the Dáil, that's what the minister said. Oh, it's not new laws we need, it's more enforcement. And now when we have this enforcement, people are still aren't happening. Like, this is very much needed if we're going to save any more lives and stop other families going through the pain that we've gone through. And we at IRVA and myself personally, I want to thank Shane Ross, the Gardaí, and the new Garda Commissioner for enforcing the law, for doing their jobs. Like, 11% of fatal collisions involving alcohol occur between 7 a.m. and 11 a.m. in the morning. 6% of all DUIs have taken place within those 4 hours, and mostly on a Sunday morning.
Well, what do you say to the minister who was quoted in the Irish Times this morning, now speaking privately, we don't know which one it was, saying that increased checkpoints in the morning time were over the top and that they were akin to a police state?
Well, there's the figures for the 11% of collisions occur between 7 a.m. and 11 a.m. Look, if you're not fit to drive, if you're over the limit and you're not fit to drive at 2 o'clock in the morning or 11 o'clock at night, if you're the same amount of alcohol in your system at that hour than mine, you're not fit to drive and you're a danger to people. You're a danger no matter... If you're over the limit of alcohol consumption, there's no two ways about it. You're just a danger on the road. You shouldn't be on the road. And it's up to you to take the precautions, to check yourself. There's plenty of breathalyzers you can buy over the counter now to test yourself if you think you're over the limit. Like, what's more important, slight inconvenience that you can't get the mass in time or someone's life? A life is more important than a slight inconvenience of being held up 5 or 10 minutes or a half an hour. People need to get their priorities straight.
A lot of the argument comes from rural Ireland, where people seem to have a bigger issue. But I'm guessing the drinking after a night out is a bigger issue than rural Ireland. This it's as much an issue where you are in Dublin as it is in Killorglin and Kerry.
A person's life is as sacred here in Dublin as it is in rural Ireland. And most fatalities are happening on the roads of rural Ireland, whether it's due to speed or drink and driving. And we all know the stories of the pubs listening up to 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. It's in rural Ireland. It even happens up here in Dublin. Look, it boils down to what's more important. Someone being able to have a drink or someone's life. To me, it's the life of my children. I want to be able to drive down the country, take a holiday down the country, and know I'm going to be safe, that I'm not going to run into a drink driver. And I've heard all these arguments and that when we were down to Dáil listening during the bill was being passed, that the minister needed to concentrate on the trees. It was moving trees that were actually killing people on the roads in rural Ireland. It wasn't drink driving or speed. It's a condition of the roads. It's bad driving. Bad driving includes drink driving, speeding. It's all of that there.
And Leo, when you hear about ministers saying this, and obviously more than one, do you think they haven't listened to your message? I mean, have you been speaking to ministers? I mean, through your work with the Road Victims Association, do the ministers need a bit of a re-education course if this is what they're coming out with?
They do need re-education. The rural TDs say that they're doing only what their constituents want. I don't believe that there, because the vast majority of rural Ireland were in favour of the new drink driving bans. Ministers, it's all about the name of this drink culture in this country. And the talk about tackling binge drinking and everything else, they just need to cop on. Everything seems to revolve around drink. I know I'm not a drinker myself, but I have no problem with other people drinking. Most of my friends, they all drink, the family drink. I have no problems with drink. All I have, my problem is with me getting behind the wheel and endanger the lives of my children or anybody else's child. It's just not fair.
Okay.
They can find plenty of ways to entertain themselves in a bar or a pub. Like I play poker 3 times a week and I don't drink, and there's a couple of other lads don't drink when they play. They can have fun. They can have drink water, they can drink coke, they can drink cider, whatever they drink. There's non-alcoholic beer out there now as well. There's no excuse for drink driving. None whatsoever.
Conor Faulkner, going back to the central argument of this, if you are driving at 11 o'clock in the morning, be it going to mass or going to work or whatever the case may be, you should be inside the law.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter that the guards are checking you. If anything, you know, you might be a bit nervous going up if you've been out the night before,
yes.
But you have to kind of think about these things, don't you? And is that the problem, that we assume that life is better the following morning, hangover or not?
Well, there is a bit of a sort of a juxtaposition. People think, well, I left the nightclub at 3 o'clock in the morning, but oh, I was such a good citizen. I took a taxi home, aren't I great? And then I'm back in the work commute at 7:30 in the morning, but I had a cup of coffee and a rasher sandwich. And that just doesn't work. The physiology of that just doesn't work. Your body hasn't processed the alcohol and you therefore are in an illegal situation and you're a danger on the road. If you have that horrible hungover feeling, almost certainly that's because you're still above the alcohol limit. And when you ask people in their sober moments whether they're tolerant of this, whether they believe there should be enforcement, etc., Leo made the point. Rural Ireland collectively, and AA surveys bore this out, was very, very strongly in favour of the tougher drink drive laws. So you wonder where some of these TDs and representatives are actually getting their mandate from, or who they think they're representing. There's an element there of sort of grandstanding or signalling to people so that they can do the hail fellow well met on the steps of the church and do a bit of plaumousing and be on everybody's side. But anybody who understands the issue understands that you've got to enforce. And we've almost have two different types of drink driver in Ireland. In the first instance, you have an individual who completely ignores existing laws, drink drives habitually, doesn't care, will continue doing it.
Are we nearly at the point that they're the ones that we're now targeting? The habitual drink drivers who don't care?
Those individuals, look, for a start, I think there's a deeper problem going on there with alcohol dependency if somebody's in that situation. But that's a group that are not going to listen to the safety messages. They're not going to hear Leo on the radio and think, oh my God, I'll reflect on that and change my ways. They just won't. There's perhaps a larger cohort of what you might call sort of decent citizens who don't want to drink and drive, but will occasionally take risks. You know, I was out, I met an old fellow I was in school with, hadn't spoken to him in 10 years. My intention was to have one pint. I wound up having four and I took the chance. Those individuals, I think you can affect their behaviour. But for both cohorts, for the you know, diehard drinker who's got an alcohol problem and can't be reached, or for the person taking an occasional risk, the solution is the presence of Gardaí. If you have a culture where drivers genuinely expect to see flashing blue lights, morning, evening, whenever it is, then they just won't take the risk. And you will see that directly translated into a reduction in death and injury statistics.
Leo, can I just put one text here that's come in from a listener called Tom, who very correctly pulled over in his car to send this text message. He makes that point at the start. There was 149 people killed last year, and that's 149 families bereaved like yours was, Leo. He's saying, yes, this is bad, but who is saying they were all drunk? And by the way, I was tested 4 times in Portlaoise. It's over the top. What do you say to that argument from Tom, Leo?
No one says all were drunk. 30% have drink related. And again, no one says they were all drunk, but everybody knows, anybody, any road safety campaign or any doctor, anything, alcohol is a major influence in road death. You cannot drink and drive. You cannot drink and drive safely. You know, like I know I'm a member of the Irish Road Victims Association. That's not true choice. I'm not a politician. I'm not a public speaker. I'm just a father who lost his child, who suffered the pain that everyone in Erva has gone through and thousands of other people have gone through. I do not want to see other people going through the same pain that we're still going through after 14 years now this year. I honestly do not want to see that pain inflicted on anybody else. It just doesn't affect me and my kids and my wife, my ex-wife. It affects all their friends and everyone else around her. people just need to cop on. Being stopped three, I don't care if I was stopped. If I was stopped 10 times, I would not care. Like, you'd see it yourself on Facebook. If there's an accident on the M50 and people are delayed for a couple of hours, to complain about being delayed a couple of hours, they're not worried about, oh God, I hope somebody was killed in that crash. People just need to get their priorities straight. That man that pulled over, that's fair enough, well and good. If the guards hadn't done their job and someone killed one of his children, he'd be one of the first to complain about the guards not doing their jobs.
Well, to be fair, you know, when you ask motorists generally, very, very few motorists object to being stopped by Gardaí. Usually the sober motorist is delighted and has no problem with
that's
it at all.
That's it. I'd have no objection if I was eventually stopped, but I haven't been stopped yet.
Look,
that's my point.
You'll find people, it's not hard to find them, you'll find people who say there's no such thing as climate change. I have my own bit of bubblegum science and I don't believe it. You'll find people who'll tell you that smoking is good for you. It's my granny lived to be 100. Remember, these things are nonsense. The research is out there. It is long, long, long since proved. And if you have the remotest doubt as to the effects of alcohol and driving, look it up. Google it. You'll find an ocean of research out there that, unless you are clinging to a flat earth perspective in life, you are a flat cap.
Okay.
You simply cannot balk the science. It's there. The debate is, what do we do about it? And the conclusion is, the more blue lights you have out and about, the fewer people will die.